God in heaven, as we open your word, may you send your Holy Spirit to just open our hearts, challenge us, move us, mold us, whatever it takes, but allow us just to understand who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. As many of you know, last week, Jen and I flew across the pond to Scotland to baptize my business coach. And while I didn't come back with an accent, I came back with some Scotland socks. That's pretty cool. And a tie clip from Scotland. And boy, I've got some stories I'll tell you. What an amazing trip. It was so fun to go. Jen, you went with every step of the way. From going to London and riding the tube, we minded the gap very well. Even touring in London, you know, we took the double-decker bus with the little your headphones so you could hear, going to the Tower Bridge there and seeing the Tower of London. Of course, we rode the London Eye, which is the same thing as the Orlando Eye. You just see a different city. We saw all sorts of things. We saw lots and lots of houses or these big buildings that I don't know who lived there, but I'm not a big history guy, but we saw them, so there they go. We saw something. Of course, you saw Big Ben, which is actually the name of the bell, not the tower. If you've been there, you know. And then, of course, we were ready to leave London and go up to Scotland, and so we grabbed a plane, and it's about an hour and a half flight, and when we landed in Edinburgh, the capital city of Scotland, it greeted us with a nice Scottish, wet, damp day. It was kind of cold. That's the Edinburgh Castle up there. And while we were there in the capital, we had to eat the national food of Scotland. Does anybody know what it is? I heard it. Haggis. Now, I don't know what is in haggis. I don't know which animal is in haggis. I had the veggie haggis, and it was delicious. Oh man, it was good. Mashed potatoes and gravy and haggis, whatever it is, it was delicious. Probably Worthington veggie burger, I don't know. And there in Edinburgh, we grabbed a car and we drove across the country to the other side, which Scotland is about the size of South Carolina. So like, it's not that big, but we drove to the west coast so that we could see all the Scottish Highlands over there. And on the way, it's just beautiful country, just pure, just nature. Look at that. Look how clear the water is. It's just gorgeous. And it was perfect weather for us. 70 degrees. It was just, everything was just beautiful. We saw lots of castles. This is the Elin Donan Castle, which is pretty beautiful. Although I think the woman in the foreground is even more beautiful. And we made it over to the Isle of Skye. And it's just, I wanted to go there above anything else. And there's lots and lots of these little guys running around. Look at these guys. On the road. There's more sheep in Scotland than there are people. It's a fact. So we saw lots of sheep, but we did not see the monster that's supposed to live in this lake. That's Loch Ness. Finally, after driving all the way around the country, we ended up in the small town of Aboyne, Scotland, which is where Nat lives. Here's a picture. This is Nat and Grant, her husband. You'll see a picture of the two girls later on, but let me just tell you, Nat is exactly like I expected. I mean, I've seen her weekly on Zoom as we've done Bible studies and business coaching. She's exactly how I expected. And her husband, I didn't really know him. That dude is incredible. I mean, he's like a friend that I've had for a long time. In fact, Nat was making fun of me. She said, "Now, did you fly across the globe to come see me or to hang out with my husband?" He's awesome. He grew up Christian, and you can tell Jesus lives in his heart. He's just an incredible guy, very patient. He's a great dad and an awesome husband. And I had so much fun. Nat kept making fun of me. She said, "This is a bromance going on here. The two of you guys just loving each other so much." He's awesome. They have two girls. You'll see them in a minute. Their oldest daughter is named Erin, and she's 10, and just she's full of life and energy, and she's just a powerful young girl. And then their youngest daughter, she's named Abby. She's 8, and she's just the sweetest little girl ever. Now, I was jealous on this trip because I went over there thinking that Abby and I were going to be best friends. But as soon as she saw Jen, they became best friends, holding hands as they walked. I mean, anyway, it's okay. I'll let you have that one, Jen. But on Sabbath morning, the whole point of the trip happened. So cool. Now, I gotta tell you, Nat's story is pretty crazy to think about, where she comes from astrology and New Age and tarot cards and crystals and this life that isn't connected to God, and to see where she's come, where she's understanding how God loves her and she's committing her life to him. Here's what's kind of crazy is, months ago in our coaching sessions, I kind of teased the idea of doing Bible studies with her, and she said, yeah, I want to do that. And I said, Nat, just understand, if we do Bible studies, this is going to change your life. She said, I'm ready. Well, on Sabbath last week, she gave me her book that she wrote. Her story is in the book. And in the front, she wrote these words. She said, you have changed my life through Jesus. It's so cool to watch the story of her as she puts her trust in Jesus. In fact, on Sabbath last week, she said these words. She says, I have never been more certain of anything in my life than this, being baptized. And as I've watched this journey of her, it's just been so incredible. Here she is in a hotel. We rented the swimming pool so that the whole family could be there. And then she got baptized. Would you like to see it? I thought you would.
So Nat, because Jesus loved you and died for you, and because you love him back, it's an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So powerful. What an incredible story. You know, it's been fun over the last 8 or 10 months, or however long it's been, to watch her take a step towards Jesus and be overwhelmed with who he is, and take another step towards him and be re-overwhelmed with who he is, and take another step towards him and see him in a different way than she's ever seen him before and be overwhelmed, and take another step, and step after step, it just continues. And every step she takes, he gets more and more beautiful. No matter how long you've known God, you probably can resonate with that fact that the closer you get to him, the more steps you take towards him, the more beautiful he gets every time. You know, there's a story I want to go through with you today. It's in Exodus chapter 24, and if you've got your Bible, you can turn there. If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be a blue pew Bible in front of you, and you can follow along on page 58. If you're unfamiliar with the Bible, just follow that page number, and it'll get you there. Exodus chapter 24, it's a story of Moses. He's such an incredible leader. He's one of my top five Bible heroes, and when I get to heaven, you better believe I'm gonna spend some time hanging out with Moses. What a leader. What a legend. This guy was just so awesome. And he's at the beginning of leading the children of Israel out away from Egypt as they exit in this exodus of people heading towards the promised land. And he gets to the part where God wants to give him the Ten Commandments, God's character written out for us. And so we read about it in Exodus chapter 24. We're gonna start in verse 12. We'll just read this section just to see the relationship that Moses has with God. Exodus chapter 24, verse 12. Say amen if you found it. Amen. Oh, that's strong. Here we go. Exodus 24, verse 12. It says this. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction. Then Moses set out with Joshua his aide, and Moses went up the mountain of God. He said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And we pause there just to think about this situation. It's pretty wild. I mean, you think about it, that pillar of cloud that has been leading the Israelites through the desert, that's God's presence, his holy presence, it's him in a cloud. It goes up on top of this mountain and he invites Moses to join him on the mountain. Now the lay people, the Israelites, they look and they see it's an all-consuming fire on top of this mountain, yet Moses is invited to step into the presence of God on top of the mountain and he goes into the cloud. I mean, it's amazing to think about this, that Moses would be in the presence of God speaking to him face to face. But that's not the only time. See, Moses, the way he set up the tents, he would put this one little tent outside the camp and it was called the tent of meeting. And whenever he wanted to go talk with God, he would go out to this tent outside the camp and all the Israelites would stand in the entrances of their tents and they would watch very quietly as Moses would go to this little tent of meeting and the cloud, God's presence, would go and meet him there in the tent and he would speak to him face to face. I mean, can you imagine this? Speaking to God face to face. When we were out there in Scotland last Friday, after Nat and Grant had dropped off their kids at school, it was just the four adults that we could hang out, and so we decided to go out to nature. We like to hike, and just 20 minutes down the road from Nat and Grant's house is the Balmoral Castle. It's this summer retreat for the royal family, and they'll go up there, and there's a church there, and you can worship with the royal family, and they go there often. It's kind of like the Biltmore, if you've ever been to Asheville. It's a beautiful landscape. There's gardens. There's a little golf course just for the royal family. There's hiking trails. It's just beautiful, and on the property, there are 16 cairns, which are not cairns, cairns. And they're monuments to different people in the royal family. And so we decided to hike up to one of these. And here's some pictures of our hike. Look at this. Isn't it beautiful? On the left side of the path, you can see one of those cairns. It's just rocks shaped together in this almost conical shape, like an ice cream cone upside down. They all look a little different. And we walked up there. And finally, we got to the top where there was this one for Prince Albert. Look at that. Thought I was in Egypt for a minute, didn't you? No, right there in Scotland, and on the backside, there's this inscription to Prince Albert, and just beautiful little cairn, just that you're up there hanging out. Now, on the way up, Grant, who I'm not sure where he gets all his historical information, whether he reads it or he watched Bridgerton or whatever those shows are over there, but he gets some good info, and he was sharing how, at one point, fairly recently, there were two mountain bikers that were riding their bikes on this campus, on the area, and they're riding along on these trails, and they came across a lone man walking along these paths, and so they stopped to talk to him, and they realized that they were talking to the king. The king. He's walking on this path, and here they are, two schmoes on their mountain bikes, and they're talking to the king. I went back and on YouTube. You can find it too. Don't do it now. Just do it later. If you Google mountain bikers, Balmoral Castle, king, you'll find it. You can listen to the whole conversation as they talk together. In fact, one of the mountain bikers says, well, your honor, your highness, this guy's pretty famous in the mountain biking world, but he's not as famous as you. And there they are speaking face to face with the king. And yet Moses would regularly speak face to face with the king of the universe. It's crazy. Exodus 33:11 says this. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friends. I crave that. I wonder what it's like to get to speak face to face with God. I can't even imagine it. I mean, it's what we dream about. It's what we think about at the second coming when Jesus comes to take us home and we get to be in his presence for all eternity and just speaking to him, just talking to him. I mean, can you imagine it being directly in the presence of God Almighty, seeing his smile, feeling his emotions, reaching out and touching him? It feels like a dream, like a fairy tale, like something that we can never have. And I wonder sometimes if, because it doesn't seem possible that we can be that close to God, I wonder if we stop with what we know of him and we say, this is the boundary, this is all, this is as good as it gets, and we just stop there. I wonder sometimes if we allow our feeble human understanding and mindset of a relationship with God, I wonder if we use it like a mental prison that keeps us from growing to know God on a deeper and more intimate level. And instead of taking a step closer to God, we just stop moving and we become comfortable with what we already know. We know he's faithful. We know he's just. We know he's loving. We know he's patient. And what we know of him is incredible and it's breathtaking. But is there more? Can we get any closer to him than we already are? Or have we just settled and have become comfortable? In the book of Romans, Paul, he shares this pleading with all humanity as he searches everyone to know, is there any one of you that knows God better? Here's what he says in Romans. He says this. He says, have you ever come unto anything quite like this? Like this extravagant generosity of God, this deep, deep wisdom? It's way over our heads. We'll never figure it out. Is there anyone around who can explain God? Anyone smart enough to tell him what to do? Anyone who has done him such a huge favor that God has to ask his advice? It's like Paul says, can you really know the depths of God? Or does it just go on and on and on? See, the way I see it, the depth and wonder of God is deeper than the deepest ocean. It's higher than the highest mountain. It's longer than time from beginning to end. It's broader than the starry sky. And I don't believe that there is ever an end to the depth of knowing God. There's no peak. There's no finish. He just keeps getting better and better and better and better. And what I love about this story and what I love about Moses is the fact that even though he could talk to God face to face, he understands the concept of what a disciple looks like in a relationship with God, that there's always a craving for more, a closer connection with him for more and more. If you got your Bible still open, you probably were in Exodus 24. Flip over to Exodus chapter 33, just a few chapters over. Exodus 33, and I'll pick you up with some context here on where Moses has been. He's been on the mountain. God gives him the Ten Commandments. When he comes down the mountain, he sees the Israelites. They've created this golden god, this calf. They chose a cow. They couldn't have chosen something better. Chose a cow. And they're worshiping this cow. And Moses, in holy anger, he throws the tablets down and they break apart. He has some fierce conversations with the Israelites. And then God calls him back up onto the mountain for more conversation. And when he gets up there, God and Moses, they talk face to face, one-on-one, as they talk about relationship. Moses reminds him, he says, hey, these people, they're your people. We just follow you and we won't go anywhere without your presence. And then he says some powerful words in verse 18, chapter 33, verse 18. Moses says these words to God. He says this. Then Moses said to God, God, show me your glory. I'm not sure if Moses had a death wish. Show me your glory. Maybe he just doesn't care because he'll do anything and everything to grow with God in his relationship. He wants to go to the next level. He'll do whatever it takes to understand the incredibleness of the God of the universe. He's unsatisfied with being comfortable with what he knows because he knows there's so much more that he needs to know. And so he almost demands to see God's glory. Even though he speaks to him face to face, he wants more. He wants to see his glory. And I love the fact that you know the rest of the story, which is God says, you want to see my glory? You'll die, but I'll make a way that you can do it. I mean, isn't that how God is? He doesn't push Moses away. He doesn't push you and me away when we want to get to him. He says, let's figure out a way. You want it? Come and get it. It's here for you. You want to grow with me? I want to grow with you. That's how God is. He will make a way to make it happen. And you know the story. God says, let me hide you in the cleft of the rock and you'll see my back. You'll see my glory. And Moses comes down from the mountain like he's been to Chernobyl. He is glowing like radiation. I mean, this guy, he has to put a veil over his face because he's glowing so much. And I believe that no matter how long you've known God, no matter how close to him you think you are, there's always another level with him. I believe no matter how beautiful he is to you right now, that there is more beauty that you can grow with him, that you can ask him, that you can step forward another level. And as you keep climbing and clamoring and scrambling towards him, the more breathtaking and beautiful he gets. So don't get comfortable. Don't just settle for basking in his goodness and his grace and his mercy. There's more. There's always more. Just keep climbing. Keep scrambling. Find it. It's there. This last Monday, I get a text message. It's a text message from one of our church members. I love this guy. He is incredible. He is a man of God. He is patient. He's kind. He's generous. He's an amazing father, an incredible dad. He's an amazing husband. Like, there literally is nothing that I can say bad about this guy. And he sends me this text message. This is somebody, one of our church members. He says this. He says, "Hey, buddy, I'm admittedly not great at reading my Bible much." He says, "I'd like to change that. Is there any men's Bible study guides that you can recommend?" Are you hearing this guy? He's one of our church members. He says, "I'm not comfortable where I am with God. I want to grow to know him better. I don't want to just sit here. I want to get there. I don't want to just be okay with what I know now. I want to grow to know God better." And so I sent him a bunch of digital resources. Said, "Oh man, this is a great Bible reading plan, or you can do over here, or check out this website." And here's what his response was. He says, "Those are good, but what I want to do, but I want to do some paper stuff too, as I want to make sure the kids see me looking at an actual Bible." Isn't this cool? This is one of our church members that says, "I want to grow, but I understand my priestly role as the leader of my family, and I want to take my family with me. I want to grow with Jesus, and I want my family to watch and go with me too." He wants to grow to see God on another level. And boy, that's my prayer for every single one of us here today. Oh, that every church member, that every visitor, that every person that walks through this door leaves with this craving to know Jesus better, a desire to know God on another level, and then does whatever it takes to get there, to scramble up to the next level of knowledge of Jesus, because you know that that next level, it's gonna be more beautiful than you've ever seen. It will take your breath away. And you know it's possible, right? To grow with God. I mean, God promises that there's another level and that you can get there. And he says these words in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. He says this. He says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." That's a promise. It's a challenge. It's God saying, if you want it, come and get it, because it's yours. When I made the itinerary for our trip to Scotland, above all the places we could go, there was one that I wanted to go the most. And it was the Isle of Skye. It's on the west coast, it's the Scottish Highlands. It's like Braveheart. I was waiting to see William Wallace walk out, and he never showed up. Beautiful over there. So when we got over there, we stayed in a little Airbnb in the town of Torin. Now Torin, you wouldn't even know where it is, except they put a dot on the map and they named it Torin. That's all there is there, the dot on the map, that's it. And so we rented this beautiful Airbnb. I mean, it's basically a castle. Here's what it looks like. It's really a one-room hut. We put two people. Their beds in Scotland, they say it's a king-size bed. It's a double. It's like a half inch bigger than a twin. It's tiny. There's a bathroom in there and a shower. But the view from this place was incredible. Here's the front door. You got the classic Scottish stone walls, and you got cows, and it's just beautiful out there. Well, we wanted to go to the Isle of Skye because both Jen and I really like to hike. And so there's great hiking there, and I found this Airbnb, and then I started looking for the hikes around the area. And there was one hike that I read about that was very tough, but also incredibly beautiful, and it was just a couple miles from this little place we were. So we got there, we changed, put our shorts on and our hiking shoes, and we got back in the car and drove on the wrong side of the road a couple miles to where we were going, parked the car. This is where it is. This is the place. It's called Blavain. It's a Gaelic word which means the Blue Mountain. Now, that arrow that I have pointing at that mountain, that's not the mountain. The mountain is behind that mountain, much higher. And as I'd read all the reviews of this hike, it wasn't a very long hike, 5.4 miles round trip, but that wasn't what made me nervous. What made me nervous is the elevation gain. which wasn't even that high, except that the halfway, you know, as you go up the mountain, you got like 2.7 miles or something like that. And for the first 2 miles, it's easy walking. Felt like we were in Florida. I mean, look at this. Look how easy this is. This is easy peasy. Look at that. I mean, you could roll a wheelchair up there if you wanted. Like, it's no big deal. I mean, look how happy we are. Oh, just a nice valley walk. But at 2 miles, it changes and the elevation goes up. So the last 7/10 of a mile, you gain about 3,000 feet of elevation in 0.7 miles. That's pretty steep, let me tell you. And as we're walking through, it's just beautiful nature. I'm enjoying it all. It's great. We see people coming down. The first was a couple, an elderly couple. And we said, hey, how was it? Did you make it to the top? And they said, no, we didn't. And I thought, they're old. We got this. They went on down. We kept hiking. The next was a group of four college boys. And they came and they looked very haggard and weary. We said, did you make it to the top? And they said, yes. Kept on hiking. Another couple was coming down. They were a little younger than us. We said, did you make it to the top? And she said, yes, but it took us 5 hours. And we'd read on the reviews, it was like 3 hours. And I thought, well, we're in pretty good shape. I think we'll be all right. But the guy, he said, I pointed to that hill back there. And I said, is that it? And he said, no. You get to that hill, you go around it, and that's where the ascent starts. We were nervous about this, but I'd seen the pictures and I knew how beautiful the top was gonna be. I knew it was beautiful. So we kept on hiking. We got up to about that level where you make the turn, and it's just beautiful up there. Little waterfalls, beautiful women hanging out there. It's just gorgeous up there. I mean, they have these little hanging lakes that are up there. It's just beautiful, incredible. The whole day I was thinking, I feel like I'm walking in the presence of God. This is his majesty. This is his glory. We're just experiencing. He made this for me. Just beautiful. And we turn the corner and the ascent begins. And there's no trail anymore. You're just kind of heading uphill. You know you got to get uphill. Let me show you. This is the kind of stuff we were hiking on. I took a video of Jen coming down the hill. Just watch. Here, this is it.
This is not hiking.
She says, this is not hiking. She says, I'm just gonna go down this way. No trail anymore. We're just kind of clambering on rocks. It's interesting though, because for every about 30 feet of elevation that we would climb, you'd have to take a break, a little breather. And so I would stop and I would turn around and I would say, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Can it get any more beautiful? We'd hike up another 30 feet of elevation and we'd stop and I'd turn around and the whole thing would change. And I would say, this is way more beautiful than it was down there. Can it get any more beautiful? And we'd hike up another 30 feet and I'd turn around. It's different there. This is so big. Can it get any better than this? We kept hiking until we get to this top and it looks like this. It's like God's shaking your hand up there. It's just beautiful. And we stood there and we just looked around and we just thought, this is the most beautiful thing that I've ever seen. I can't experience anything more beautiful than this. Until I pulled out my phone and realized that on my All Trails app, we still had 800 feet of elevation to climb. What's funny is that at any point that we had stopped, and especially this false top, we could have said, you know what? We've seen a lot of beauty today. It's been really beautiful, and this hike has been tough. Why don't we call this the top and head back? This is good enough. But when we got to this place here, it took me about a half a second to look at Jen and say, I want it. I want to go to the top because I know how beautiful it is up there. And she said, I want it too. So we kept climbing. There's no trail. It was less hiking and more rock climbing at this point, where we'd find toe holds and hand holds and pulling ourselves up. And when we got to the top, it was so incredibly beautiful. And by the top, I'd already written this sermon in my head. And knowing that you would want to see it too, I took a video of it. Would you like to see it this morning? I thought you would. This is what it looks like. Now, before we see the video, I just want to tell you that my heart rate was pegged at about 190. Excuse the heavy breathing. The struggle and the effort was worth every step of the way, because when we got to the top, you'd see something you'd never see anywhere else. Are you getting what I'm trying to say this morning? I believe that no matter how little or how much you know about God, or how close or how far from God you feel, until we stand in his presence and see him face to face in heaven, there's always a closer journey that you can have with him. And one day soon, I can't wait for that day, we'll see him face to face. But until that day, I'm gonna keep climbing, keep clamoring over boulders and rocks and whatever it takes, because I want to know Jesus the best way that I can. Until that day, I will keep climbing to know him better.